And Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Steve Kathan. The House is poised to act on a bill to head off a possible rail strike.
Let me be clear, a nationwide rail shutdown would be catastrophic. A shutdown would grind our economy to a halt and every family would feel the strain.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
We will have a separate up or down vote to add 7 days of paid sick leave to the tentative agreement.
Earlier, that deal was rejected by key unions. New York's Hakeem Jeffries was just unanimously elected the leader of Democrats in the House, the first African-American in that position. Violent storms, including more than 20 reported tornadoes, have blasted several southern states. At least 2 deaths in Alabama blamed on the weather. Keith Barnett is an emergency official in the Birmingham area.
There's a lot of trees down. We've got reports of some homes that were damaged in the area. We got first responders that are out there going door to door, checking every house, making sure people are okay, trying to account for everybody.
Well, the Biden administration says it's, quote, deeply concerned about American Paul Whelan, who is detained in Russia. Recent information on his whereabouts and condition has not been made available. There's a mix of optimism and caution from the results of testing on an experimental Alzheimer's drug.
Cheryl Essam says she and her husband David have been living in hope ever since he joined the human trials for lecanemab.
There has been deterioration, but of course, hopefully, not as fast as there would have been.
Dr. John Hardy first identified the mechanism behind Alzheimer's 3 decades ago.
I've been worried that this day was never going to come.
So far, it appears lecanemab can slow the progression of early Alzheimer's by 20 to 25%. FDA approval could come early next year. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
ISIS says leader Abu al-Hassan al-Hashimi al-Kuriashi was recently killed in battle. President Biden said back in February that he was killed in a special ops raid. Some new and controversial firepower is available now for a big city police force.
San Francisco police can now use robots to kill people, but only in limited emergency situations. For example, an active shooter barricaded in a building. Supervisor Matt Dorsey.
God forbid that we are not depriving ourselves of access to something that will protect public safety.
The new policy allows robots to be equipped with deadly explosives, but not guns. Nonetheless, civil rights groups were opposed, saying it would lead to the further militarization of police.
This is opening up a Pandora's box that could change our society in a significant way.
Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Francisco.
Wall Street, right now the Dow is down 150 points. The NASDAQ is up 35 points. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
Aho, Wisconsin. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, a new Native American theme show live weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7. Each day, activists and newsmakers will provide updates on protecting Mother Earth. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Join us for our Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake weeknights at 6 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Wisconsin DNR has announced that lake trout season opens for Lake Superior on December 1st and continues until September 30th or until the harvest cap is met. A Great Lakes trout and salmon stamp must be purchased in addition to a fishing license and can be found online at gowild.wi.gov or at any license location. A group of Stevens Point students have created a community closet called Formal Wear Free Boutique for high school students to help make school dances memorable for all students. With three formal dances throughout the year, the cost for appropriate attire can be quite high. These students are collecting formal wear through donations at the Stevens Point High School to add to the boutique where students can shop with no questions asked. They don't want anyone to miss out for lack of something to wear. The group is looking for dresses, dress pants, shirts, ties, and shoes. Newer styles are preferred, but 90s styles are coming back into fashion. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A few flurries possible at times this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 23, westerly winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 9 above. High temperatures reach up to 32. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. A dusting of snow Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 23.
Freedom of speech. Freedom to say. Freedom to think. This is my
welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bright. Greg, you look perplexed.
Kristen,
perplexed.
Kristen, you can't say words. Was that the Mellencamp?
It was.
Yeah.
What are the rest of the lyrics of that? Do you know?
No. I just recognize his voice. And the thing is, I knew there was Carlos Santana's guitar on the last break, but I wasn't sure if it was him because I just know his guitar tone so well because I am a nerd.
That's okay. It's part of the reason you're on the show.
Oh,
stop. Funny. You're nerdy.
I pulled it from the video from like the 70s. It's hilarious.
This song?
No, the Carlos Santana song Winning. Just to see what they wore in
the 70s. Wore like big white pants.
Oh, it's just priceless.
That was his like free jazz stage.
And the keyboard players always, just the fact that keyboard players were ever cool just kills me.
But what's the
Keytar?
Keytar.
Yeah, it is awesome.
It's so cool.
So awesome.
All right. So we are talking about freedom of speech.
Yes,
we're talking
we
about free speech on campus specifically. That feels like always comes up every couple months as far as the indoctrination of young people on campus and these liberals that are spreading their ideology.
Kristen, it's dirty liberals.
It is dirty liberals. So I have mixed feelings on this because I think in its purpose, it's good. It's always better to have more information, right? I think. So basically this has been kind of an ongoing story of will it happen? When will it happen? But the University of Wisconsin system is going to relaunch a student free speech survey. And there's been controversy or arguments about this because there's certain staff. Actually, the chancellor of I think it was
Whitewater.
Is it Whitewater? Okay, resigned over this, and because it was going to happen last spring, and now it looks like it is going to happen now. And it's basically a 29-page survey. We have the questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be sent to a random sample of students on each UW campus, and the researchers are hoping for a minimum of 500 responses. You do get, if you fill it out,
$10. You get a $10 gift card.
Which, as a broke college student, I mean, you know, maybe that's incentive enough. Would you fill this out for $10?
If I was 21, sure. Like, there's different versions of me in college. Like, there's the part of me that's like, you know, who would protest against hate speech, be like, I'd fill that out. $10 is fine. Then there's just like, they're kind of like, I'll buy so much ramen noodles.
How much would $10 actually buy?
I think it buys you a case. Actually, yeah.
Really?
Case, yeah. Like 24 cases, like super cheap.
All right. So it is 29 pages. I mean, it's a long survey.
Yeah,
and so UW System President Jay Rothman, who I feel like is doing a lot. Like, I feel like his name comes up a lot as far as since taking over for the interim UW System President Tommy Thompson.
Yeah. Great
choice. The different things that they were doing with now I forgot exactly the name of it, but the tuition program, mm-hmm. where families, students of families who are making less than, I think, $60,000 a year are getting free tuition, and they expanded that. I think it's like the Bucky Promise program. They expanded that to more campuses than just Madison. So it feels like he's out there and he's doing stuff. So he said the research project is aimed at ensuring the UW system is committed to being a marketplace of ideas. Thank you, Elon. A place where nuanced and complicated issues can be openly discussed openly, freely, and civilly. We want, this is a quote, we want passionate debate on tough issues in a way that people can learn and ask questions without being labeled or tainted. We're not going to solve the issues that we have as a society, which are challenging and complicated, by soundbites and tweets. And so the effort, in his eyes, is to get usable data to understand what students think about free speech, rights, and responsibilities. So on the surface, I feel like this is a good thing, I think. But then the back side of this is who's funding it.
Yeah.
Who's pushing for
it. Yeah.
And so it's being funded basically almost exclusively by John Menard.
Of?
Menards. Save big money at Menards.
It is the... Jane was very impressed with that harmony. Did you see the look on Jane? Yeah.
Notorious. I mean, literally, I think the richest person in the state.
He is. He's worth like $8 billion.
Very conservative.
Very conservative.
Big Republican donor.
Also, and I don't mean to spread rumors, also been like, it seems like he's not all there.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. I do know he's very anti-union.
Yes. Oh, of course he is. Yes. Yes.
I do not know. Pro he's old. Race, I imagine he's in his 80s.
Pro race car.
There's, pro race car.
They said like he does so few interviews that when he does interviews, all he wants to do is talk about his racing team. Yeah.
That like Elkhart?
Because at this point, do you think he knows the price of sod? No, he doesn't. He's John Menard.
So... It was supposed to, like I said, it's supposed to happen in the spring. It got delayed, and some of the Republican lawmakers who have been pushing this were complaining because they thought the quality of the survey would suffer. And so this is also last December, so about a year ago, a bill was introduced that would punish state universities and technical colleges for free speech or academic freedom violations. I don't remember exactly who dictates that and what the violations, who gets to decide what's a violation or not. And so there's sides of Republican lawmakers who are really pushing for this survey, and they're doing it, as we now know that it is going to happen. But there's some UW system faculty, some students who are skeptical because they think that this is all going to be used for partisan politics, and it's going to be used as a scapegoat trap, I told you so type thing, rather than an actual quest for research to understand the student bodies more and how conversations are happening or not happening on campuses.
Yeah.
So my opinion is, in its purest form, this is a good thing. But it's just, I understand the, how is this going to get used
mm-hmm.
problem.
Yeah.
Craig, you look like you have something to say.
I have thoughts.
All right, let's hear them.
I think this is a dumb idea.
Do you?
Yes. I don't think a survey with 29 pages is going to get, I don't doubt that, okay, let me try this. I don't doubt that they're trying to reach some sort of idea of where they could go regarding conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that this survey is the right way of doing it. I don't think that it is. I don't think it is. It's just not. I don't know. There's something very doesn't feel right to say, like, all right, we're going to send out all these.
Surveys. And I think it's like, it's also because it's a random sampling, but it's also, it sounds like you self-select whether or not you're going to spend time doing this because you're getting rewarded by taking a $10 gift certificate.
And also $500, that's like $500,000 in gift cards. But like, But the it's not even the gift card thing. It's the fact that like 500 people, like nothing smacks of science to me. This sounds so random and so ill prepared.
Well, because you think about the, when we think about polling, because that's sometimes the question of, well, you know, if we talk to Charles Franklin from Marquette Law School polling, and the reason why, not that I'm smart enough to know this, but the reason why polling 1,000 people in a state of 6 million is still fairly accurate is because of the way that they, it is random. It is, it's not self-selected. You're not getting reward, you know, and like, and they adjust for gender, race, age, all of these different things. And if you're self-selecting on who's going to, and it's also not a 29 page, when you get stuck on the phone with a pollster, I don't think it's this long.
No.
And so, cause it's, it, I mean, you scroll through it. And so if you find the article, WPR covered this, I think either yesterday or the day before. And so they linked to the article, I mean, to the survey. And so you can read all the different questions. And I told Brooke to get on the mic because she's out of all of us, the most recent,
resident youngster.
Well, no, she's, I mean, you've been to 3 different campuses.
Yeah.
And so she's
too many.
Not to like tell you.
I was going to say, it's not like she just called out. Like.
So you attended Parkside, Oshkosh, and UWM.
Yep.
Do you feel like there's free speech on campus?
That's hard. I feel like yes and no. Because
I think, what I think that they're getting at is, is there, for young Republicans, young conservatives, do they feel intimidated in classrooms by their teachers that they can't express their conservative ideas without trying to be indoctrinated? And so that's what I think the partisan side of this is what they're trying to get at. When you say yes or no, what does that mean?
I mean, my first thought, I think back to when I went to UW Oshkosh, which is like, I feel like that was the clearest example. And it was there was actually a controversy on campus where there was a frat party, and this lesbian couple got kicked out by the house owners for being lesbians, and then also they were hanging swastikas all over their houses, and people were really upset. But their whole thing was, well, it's my house, I can, you know, it's, I can say what I want. It, like, it doesn't matter.
But if it's a frat house, is it their house? Isn't that usually?
It's usually tied into the university and the fraternity. Like there can be some consequences for that. But
anyways, we have like a minute, and then we'll keep talking about this after the break. But
that's where it gets confusing, because I don't know if those kids ever really had any consequences after that. But it was like a huge thing. Like, a lot of people were talking about it. A lot of people were upset. But I feel like that's one thing. But then in terms of like being in class, there are definitely moments where if I could like gauge where my teacher or my professor was leaning towards, I wouldn't vocalize as much where I stood, like, because I took like PR classes and debate classes and stuff like that, and I definitely like was like, I'm just gonna keep it to myself.
Yeah,
so
that's interesting. I feel like there's, I'm trying to think back of, so we'll talk about this more when we get back, because I think this is super interesting, having just gone to school, for you, me trying to think back of when I was in school, how much of that is like wrapped up in just wanting to impress your teacher versus I feel actually intimidated that I'm going to be, you know, considered wrong or graded poorly if I don't agree with them, versus I am just a people pleaser in general, if you haven't picked that up. And so, all right, well, we're going to take another break. We're going to keep talking about this when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Freedom of speech. Freedom to say. Freedom to think. This is my lucky day. Freedom of thought. Freedom of dreams, freedom to believe that we all can be kings, all can be kings.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed
with your coverage. And I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, one in five Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News Talk Radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
With Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is a big fan of this show song.
This song for me, I could spend an hour talking about this song. I love this song. I could never get sick of this song. I could listen to it every day. I love this song. It means so much more to me than it does to other people.
Why?
I think it's because I didn't come out as queer until very late, like until a couple years ago. And when you don't do that, and when you don't realize it, and it happens, you realize there's all these little pieces of the puzzle, all these little breadcrumbs throughout your entire life that led you to the place.
Okay.
And so for me, this song is one of them. And it was something, there's something about the lyrics, there's something about the beat, the fact that it's George Michael, who was a treasure, that I become very... When I say emotional, I don't mean crying. I mean, I'm so happy. I love this song. Thank you for playing it, Jane.
Now we know your theme song.
It made my day.
Would this be your walk-up song if you're ready to give a speech?
Oh my God, possibly. It could also be my walk-up song when I go on stage.
Ooh.
I love it. We should have harmonized there. Darn it. Okay, we should get back to topic. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I feel like we probably could have spent an entire hour just on this topic because it's so much bigger than just the free speech survey that is going to be conducted across the UW system. And kind of, is it in the purest form of research of trying to understand more of how students are feeling about how they approach topics, how they approach critical thinking about topics, how comfortable they feel expressing themselves on campus, versus what some people are saying is potentially, as I called it, a partisan ruse.
Yeah.
And the results are going to be used as fodder to say, I told you so, from Republican lawmakers. Because it is a project funded by John Menard.
Yeah.
Very rich man, very conservative man.
At the end of the day, I just don't think that they're going to get the results that will. Here's a better way for me. I could have put it in the last segment. I don't think they're going to get the results that will allow them to move forward in the way that.
Who's they?
UW system. Okay. The general. I can't remember his name right now.
Jay Rothman.
Jay Roth. Thank you. the way Jay Rothman's putting it, I feel like they're trying to move in a certain direction to find truth and to find balance, to find fairness. That's great. I don't think this study, this survey is going to do that. I think it's a bigger problem. It's a bigger discussion to have with professors, to have with assistant professors, to have with students, to have with all. You got to say like, hey, we want to tackle this over the course of a couple of years because we have to do a lot of discussion. There's a lot of schools here. There's a lot of people who work for us. There's a lot of students who go here. And to me, a 29-page survey that's going to guarantee you a $10 gift card, I don't think is going to do it.
It'd be interesting because my instinct with this show is to try to get faculty members who are on the opposing side of thinking this is a good thing versus a bad thing to come on the show and talk about it. But speaking of freedom of speech, I wonder if they would feel comfortable doing it without ramifications of,
I mean,
this is my job. I'm not going to discuss this, even if they would want to.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only people you could probably get who'd do it comfortably are probably tenured professors. Be like, my job is safe. You know, you can't ask some grad student who's teaching a class. They're gonna be like, nope, I like my job and my stuff. So
Brooklyn, would you take this for $10? If you were back in school?
Yeah, I would definitely do it for the $10.
Not $10, so a $10 gift card.
I'd be like, okay.
You're like, I need money.
However, if you want a 12-pack of ramen, it's going to cost you $13.
Actually,
right. You looked it up?
I looked it up. That's not,
what I found. $12.99.
I found a case which is 24 for $6.56.
Wow! What
is this, Alibaba? Where are you getting this from?
It's called. It's a new website called Amazon.
Where'd you find yours?
I just did a search.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
All right. Well, I want to get into this deeper, but we only have 2 minutes before we have to go to another break because I just think this is fascinating, and I don't even know if we have time to play the clip. But I, you know, in the bigger conversation of how much is, as Brooklyn said in the last segment, going to a frat party and they threw swastikas on the wall and they said that they could because it's their house. And, you know, in the last couple months, the rearing of anti-Semitism, I mean, I think it's probably something that's always there.
I didn't know who Nick Fuentes was until Thanksgiving.
All of the stuff with this young 24-year-old Nazi coming out and obviously Kanye and Dave Chappelle. But it is interesting because like my hero, like is Jon Stewart always. And he was on, do we have time for the clip? Okay. So we'll summarize it. He was on Colbert.
He was on,
Colbert.
Okay. Yeah.
And Dave Chappelle had just done his SNL 15-minute monologue.
Yeah.
I actually didn't watch the whole thing. I saw the hype around it, but he, you know, Jon Stewart, Jewish man, friends with Dave Chappelle.
Yes.
And I thought he did make an interesting point because basically what he said is he's not normalizing anything. This conversation's already happening in every comment section if you spend time on the internet. And so we're not going to solve this by not talking about it. And I do think if we're talking about the example that Brooklyn gave, her real life example, is in that situation with the boys who did that at their frat house, is it solved by kicking them out of school or is it solved by having more conversation about why this is offensive? What are they trying to accomplish with this? And like getting to a root cause. And I think I am on the side of the conversation.
Me too.
And if this potential survey isn't weaponized by lawmakers, but does elicit some kind of insight on how conversations can be happening or aren't happening. I don't know. I think it's not as scary as maybe people are saying this is why we shouldn't do it. But we gotta go to break. Greg, okay. I know you have thoughts, so we'll talk about it. But we gotta go because Dan Schaefer's already in the waiting room.
Oh my god.
Dan Schaefer, Recombobulation Area, is gonna be here. We're gonna talk about Judge Darrow joining the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
How is your health today? Are you well, have lots of energy, sleep well, no digestive problems? Do you handle stress well? Or are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Your body is designed to be in a healthy balance, but sometimes you need help to heal and restore your health. I'm Dr. James Bowman, a board-certified doctor of naturopathic medicine. In our clinic in Stevens Point, I and my staff provide safe, effective, natural family health care. Visit our website for more information. You can get your lifeback.com. Call for a consultation and appointment, 715-341-4949.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. When you connect with an expert, getting coverage is easy and our help is free. We find the best deals, whether it's from healthcare.gov or state coverage like Badger Care. And you can reach us in person, phone, text, or online. Honestly, it's like chatting with a friend who knows everything about health insurance. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to whatscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
Hey, Siri, what's a shouse?
That's okay, Siri. I got this. A shouse is a building with the secure storage of a clary shed and the living space of a house. Combine the two and you get a shouse. We have so many options to create your very own shouse. Design your custom layout and choose from beautiful color and accessory options, all bundled with the industry-leading quality and warranty you expect from Clary. Visit clarybuilding.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director James and head of production Seth will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees. But we can protect them from six types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Winter weather is here, and with this snowy season, snowplows are out working hard to keep roads clear. Drivers may notice a new light feature on many snowplows throughout the state, as county and municipal snowplows have added flashing green lights in addition to their yellow ones. A new law was passed in April that allowed this addition, as officials say green lights create a better contrast against the snow and are more visible during storms. The decision was made because of several close calls, and as they are phased in, officials hope it serves as a more visible reminder to slow down and proceed with caution around snowplows. Governor Tony Evers is seeking an applicant for the appointment of Register of Deeds in Adams County. Jody M. Helgeson will retire on January 13, 2023, and the new Register of Deeds will serve the remainder of the unexpired term that ends on January 5, 2025. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. on December 9th. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A few flurries possible at times this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 23, westerly winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies, tonight lows dip down to about 9 above. High temperatures reach up to 32, tomorrow a blend of clouds and sun. A dusting of snow Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 23.
From the recombobulation area, welcome to the show. How are you doing, friend?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, everybody.
So how did it go? Well, you had to do 3 hours of radio. It's a new
3 hours of live radio is a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Jane helped me through it. But,
he was great. You know. Dan was great.
Did Dan cover one of the days I was supposed to be here? Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. How you doing, Greg?
I'm feeling better. I'm feeling That's better. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is a good time to announce that I have to let Phil know and Joe Specky know, but everyone, I'm treating you all to dinner. So the challenge will be finding a day that works for everyone, but doing a big group dinner to say thank you for everyone who covered for me, which includes Mr. Dan Shaver, who did 2 days. So, you know, expanding your skill set.
That's right. Getting those reps.
Yes, exactly.
Getting some reps on the radio. You know, I did a couple TV reps earlier this fall, too. Just trying to get a little experience doing this whole media thing where I'm not just behind a computer typing all day.
There are no lanes anymore. Someone else said the other day, you're like, you know, newspapers are trying to do podcasts and radio stations are trying to be TV shows and TV shows are trying to be newspapers. And so no one has a lane anymore. And we all have to do every medium.
Yeah. I will be becoming a chef later this week.
I feel like you'd be good at that.
Oh, I'm great at eating.
You'd look great in that hat.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we wanted to talk a little. We talked about this yesterday when the news broke, but I know, I think you tweeted and have been tweeting the very, very.
I rarely tweet.
That's a whole other topic we could talk about is how much you were potentially worried that Twitter would not be there that Monday when people said, there's no one left to work at Twitter. And you're like, what am I going to do? But Judge Darrow, who was the judge in the Daryl Brooks case, is announcing, like, potentially right now while we're on air, I don't know what time it's scheduled, that she is joining the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, that the primary will be in February, the general will be in April. It is incredibly, incredibly important. And basically, I would love to hear your thoughts, because my initial reaction to this was, prior to her announcing that she was going to run, there was one conservative candidate who is a former Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, Jan Kelly, who was pretty handedly beaten in 2020. He's running again. And two, I don't know if you want to say liberal, center left, backed by more.
Liberal,
I don't.
Liberal.
Yeah.
Just for lack of a better.
Yes. And one who's a Dane County court judge, and one who's a Milwaukee County judge. And my gut instinct on this was, for the primary at least, it forces more conservatives. That vote will be split potentially.
Mm-hmm.
But for the long term, looking into the general, does having someone like Judge Darrow, who is, you know, we know the power of name recognition, right? No matter what the race is, the big challenge for most elections is, do enough people know who you are to have any kind of insight on whether or not they're going to vote for you? And so she obviously has made a huge name for herself. That was a very high profile case. And so what were your gut reactions yesterday when it was broke that her husband broke it, that she was going to announce today, as far as what that changes going into next year?
Yeah. Again, first, I just want to say, you cannot overstate the importance of this race. This will determine the majority in the court. This will be, you know, this is a 10-year term that will determine the majority of the court. It is the liberals' best chance to win a majority, really, at any time in recent memory or, you know, looking ahead through the rest of the 2020s. A liberal justice, Ann Walsh Bradley, is up in 2025, and then conservative Rebecca Bradley is up in 2026. So this 2023 election is really the best chance that liberals have to gain a majority on the court. This is important, I think, chiefly because it would open up challenges to the state's ridiculously gerrymandered maps. And the maps have been Republicans' skeleton key to wielding power in Wisconsin, no matter how many statewide elections they lose. And so the maps is the Republicans' key to holding power in Wisconsin, and the court is the key to those maps. So I think that is why, that is the main reason I see as why this election is so incredibly important because the maps are so foundational to the accountability that we are unable to deliver to the Wisconsin State Legislature. And that is foundational to every issue from, you know, that comes before the court or comes before the legislature, be it from abortion and gun rights and taxes and public safety and local funding and on down the list. It all comes back to the maps. So I think it's important to emphasize why that is particularly important. And then, so getting into the primary, you know, I think this is a, you know, I think Jennifer Doerr is going to have a ton of name recognition, mm-hmm. more so than any other, you know, candidate in this type of race would typically have. And I think Daniel Kelly, who lost, like you said, lost big in 2020, was never elected to mm-hmm. the state Supreme Court, was a Walker appointee. So he, you know, in the one election that he was in, he lost pretty badly. And I think he is the type of candidate who did poorly for Republicans in the most recent midterms, like the type of far right, very Trumpy, election denier adjacent type of
Michael Gableman type, maybe.
Yeah,
Michael, maybe a little bit of the Michael Gableman type. I you don't think he's going to get into this?
No, no. I mean, oh God,
no. No.
Who knows? Nothing ever Daniel surprising
Kelly,
anymore.
Daniel Kelly was also wildly underqualified for that job. The fact that he was appointed that job in the first place was ridiculous.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recompopulation area, talking about the consequence or what does it mean that Judge Darrow is joining the Wisconsin Supreme Court case or race. Sorry. So do you think this is, I guess if we're splitting it, if even though this is a nonpartisan race, and it should be a nonpartisan race, specifically yeah. with judges
yep.
who are supposed to be objective and look at the law yeah. and not apply their ideology, but that's not the world that we live in, so
I've
let's talk about it in real terms, which is there are two now conservative candidates, and there's two liberal-backed candidates. So what do you think this means for the primary as far as who could get through?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it kind of remains to be seen how things are going to shake out on the liberal side of things. But I think, I think among the conservatives, I think, you know, a couple of conservatives like Rebecca Bradley came out and endorsed mm-hmm. Daniel Kelly before Doerr jumped into the race here. But I think on the left, we have kind of emphasized the importance of this race for quite a while. You know, I think our friends at Block have been saying this is kind of a two-part midterm, saying this is the governor's race and everything that was on the ballot this fall is one part of it, and the state Supreme Court race in the spring is the second part of it. And so I think everybody on the left recognizes the importance of this race. And I think Doerr jumping in is a recognition that the conservatives were kind of stuck with a bad candidate. And they had this opportunity with the judge who just got a ton of name recognition, just became this like TV news darling with the Brooks case over the last couple months and with how she handled it and everything like that. So I think that and she's a Walker appointee whose term is ending in the relatively near future, you know, so. So I think, you know, I think she's going to be a strong candidate in that primary. And I think, you know, considering what just happened for Republicans, I think maybe they drift away from mm-hmm. the Daniel Kellys of the world. But you never know. I mean, Trump could jump into the race and endorse Kelly, and that could make a huge difference too.
Because he endorsed him in 2020.
Right. So, I think it remains to be seen how this is going to shake out. You know, we're already seeing a little bit of the Oppo files come out on. I just saw Daniel Weiss publish the story on Doro.
Oh, really? What did it say?
Earlier this morning, the headline was Supreme Court candidate Jennifer Doerr has been critical of the cash bail system. So an article about how she had comments in the past talking about how, quote, there is a huge body of evidence about whether or not cash bail is keeping communities safe. So that's going to be an interesting
but
one.
But here's the thing that I think is so interesting.
Dynamic for the race, too.
Because is there a chance that she is not, because she is not part of the donor-backed backdoor world of GOP politics, liberal politics, you know, the people who are trying to pull the strings without being in front of the in front of everyone, that she is there a chance it'd be hers kind of because she's just had such a meteoric rise that she isn't in the camps of this is the agenda we are trying to get through politically in Wisconsin versus because I would say that that is the right correct like that is the right position to hold as far as what everything I understand about cash bail and it not really working because the only purpose of it is to get people to come back to court. And there is a ton of evidence that shows that that is not what it actually does. This is not a means to just keep people locked up before they actually get a trial. And so right. If she is someone who, like, in my opinion, that is actually a reason I would vote for her, right? Is hearing right. That opposition. But apparently you consider that oppo, or people would consider that oppo, because that is not the position of a lot of conservatives.
It'll be interesting.
Well, they just spent tens of millions of yes. dollars attacking Mandela Barnes for months on this exact issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just always striking to me. It's just like, hey, this is a system that failed. We should reform it. And then the response to that is, this is the worst thing we've ever heard. So, I don't know. But I just think, you know, she went to law school at an evangelical Christian law school. She has been kind of part of that Waukesha County political universe for a little while, from what I understand. So I don't know. I think it's, you know, we're obviously at the very, very early stages. Everyone's going to know her from the Brooks trial.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a huge factor. So
go ahead, Greg.
I just think we'll know where she stands in a week's time when she makes the announcement. She's asked questions on her past statements, and we'll know where we're at. I mean, I think in today's day and age, you can't stand to be independent. It won't get you anywhere.
Hmm.
So if she says, like, you know, the work she did on the Brooks case, she's proud of the work she did in the Brooks case, and people, you know, I read Twitter the day that those sentences came down, people were very happy about it on one side. And then if she talked about cash bail and she says, like, I think cash bail should be looked at and examined, that's going to be a hard line for her to walk, that independent line, because she won't be whose vote will she honestly mm-hmm. get?
Well, it's also so interesting, and this is part of the I have to figure out how to communicate this, whether it's through TikTok videos or on the radio station, but also decide, you know, because probably if the last election we just had is any indicator of what the talking points and messaging is going to be going into this election, it's going to be soft on crime and their record. But a reminder that there was people who's the justices who sit on the Wisconsin Supreme Court do not decide who goes to jail.
Yeah.
They hear cases that are interpreting our state constitution, and it has nothing to do with putting people away. And so I don't know how you communicate that to motivate people to not only just vote, but also know what is the roles and responsibilities of the people who sit on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and how to look at their background and their history, and how that works into their actual job. It is not like she or any of them would not be hearing ever the Daryl Brooks case.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really important for those of us in the media to do our best to talk about what this job actually is.
Yeah.
Because attack ads are going to go where attack ads go. And we know how that shapes up.
We all are so ready to have it back. Really yeah. All right. Well, we got to take a break. But Dan Schaefer from the Recompopulation Area will still be here when we come back. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Take a little trip with me. there are veterans, the benevolent and protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Hey, it's Kristen Bry from Asgos, Wisconsin, which is now a radio show. That's right, I'm taking the same fun and uncomplicated approach to talking about state and local news to the airwaves. Starting July 5th, me and my friends from all parts of the state and all different backgrounds will break down the Wisconsin headlines in a way that informs, entertains, and hopefully makes you laugh. Tune in to Asgos, Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. to 2 on 101 FM The Shaw and WAUK 540 AM.
Don't search through the phone book for hours looking for help. Don't waste time being transferred from department to department looking for answers. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, simply dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free and confidential information and referral is available throughout Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 and get connected and get answers.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
To Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to Ask Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, our guest. Our guest co-host every Wednesday is Greg Bach. Our guest for this half hour is Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, which is a weekly column. You should subscribe to it. You should pay to subscribe to it. It is excellent. So what'd you write about this week?
Quickly on that note, today is the last day of our Thanksgiving week sale.
Oh, what is the sale?
So we have 30% off for a full year subscription. I ran it for the full week, so it would include Black Friday, whatever Saturday, whatever Sunday,
Small business Saturday,
all of the things. So today is the last day of the sale. You can get a full year subscription for just $35. So that's what we got.
There you go. Good plug. But what'd you write about this week?
So after all of the election business that I had been writing about for the past few weeks, I needed kind of a palate cleanser, you know, to just write about. So I wrote about the Bucks. I had to write about the Milwaukee Bucks.
Fair.
And
how are they doing?
They're doing great.
The games I've been able to catch, it seems like they're still rocking and rolling.
Yeah, they continue to be great. They have the best player in the league, and they have the second best record in the league right now, even though Chris Middleton has not yet played a game. So
he's still out.
I think he's coming back soon.
Okay.
The Bucks are real weird about giving any injury details to the beat reporters. So when I follow the comments from like my friend Eric Name at The Athletic, he'll tweet out that Mike Budenholzer has not given him an update on anything, which is what they basically do. I think he's coming back soon. But basically what I wrote about with the Bucks and with Giannis is about how they're chasing history this season. I think this is kind of a quiet storyline for the Bucks this season. You know, they win the title in 2021. They're unable to repeat on the, you know, after the shortened off season and with Middleton's injury in last year's playoffs. But this year, you know, I think when you have a team that can win two titles in 3 years or win multiple titles as part of just kind of a larger run, I think that puts you in a different historical tier as a team compared to, you know, just kind of like a one-off title. Like the Detroit Pistons won in 2004 and the Dallas Mavericks won in 2011. But that's a little bit different than, say, like the Lakers and the Heat and the Warriors and all of these kind of dynastic teams in the NBA. And I think the Bucks really have an opportunity this year to become one of those teams if they're able to climb the mountain yet again. You know, if they're able to win two titles in 3 years and basically be kind of the dominant team of the last five seasons, I think that puts them in kind of different historical rarefied air. And it also, with, you know, as it applies to Giannis as well, you know, we saw, you know, one of the things that I wrote about was the fact that, you know, he's already being ranked as one of the top 20 players of all time.
It's wild.
Which is crazy.
But is he 28?
He'll be 28 in a couple weeks, or next week. And, you know, he's already kind of reaching this pantheon of NBA greatness. And if he's able to win another title, if he's able to maybe even get another MVP, you know, that puts them in line to, puts him in line to be one of the 10 greatest players to ever play the game. And I think this season is perhaps going to be their best chance to do it, you know, considering the age of guys like Brooke Lopez and Middleton and Holiday, who are all in their 30s. You know,
but isn't Brooke having like his best year? Isn't he just dominant this year?
Brooke has been unbelievable this year. He's leading the league in blocks per game. He's kind of regained his shooting stroke, get that Splash Mountain nickname back. Mm-hmm. But he's also 34 and missed most of last season with a pretty serious back injury.
Yeah.
So you never know. Like, this might be the best we get from Brooke going forward. And as great as he's been this year, I mean, you never know. So I just think this season is such an opportunity for the Bucks to stamp themselves as one of these great all-time historical teams.
There's something about sports, now that I'm in my second half of my 30s, of like, I'm still young. I still got it. And they're like, oh, he's so old. He's 34. I don't know. I don't know how many years he's gotten him.
I just got asked to be on a, like, an intramural soccer team. I was like, what are you even doing to yourselves? What kind of question is that?
No. I will not do that.
No, I'll be your, I'll take stats.
So then the other last question, I have not looked at mine yet. Have you looked at your Spotify Wrapped yet?
I don't do Spotify.
You do Pandora?
No.
Where do you listen to your music?
YouTube Music. Is right. With you. I'm going to do a little plug.
Is that like a moral stance?
No. It's with when you subscribe to YouTube Premium, you get a free membership to YouTube Music. It's the same access to the same music. It's all great. Oh. So I don't.
All right. Well, then you're not in this conversation. People, Dan, have you done Spotify
for? Okay, fine. I'll just leave. Goodbye.
I did check out my Spotify Wrapped this morning, and I share an account with my wife and my daughter. And so I went through, they give you the first, you know, your top five songs. All of my top five songs were from the Encanto soundtrack. So tell me you're a parent without telling me you're a parent.
I have been told that even if you're not a parent, that's like, as far as the world of kids music goes,
it's a great, like, soundtrack.
Encanto versus Baby Shark. Encanto all the way, right? You're like, exactly. Everyone's very pumped when that. They're like, yeah. I can handle this.
So yeah, everything in my top 10 was from the Encanto soundtrack. So that my daughter loves the movie.
What's your favorite song? What's your favorite Encanto song?
It's got to be We Don't Talk About Bruno, yeah, right? Okay. And then the only other song in the top 10 that was not part of the Encanto soundtrack was this one Jason Isbell song called If We Were Vampires. And my wife and I will play that in the car whenever our youngest will not shut up. So it's just like the one song that gets her to calm down. And so the whole Spotify Wrap for me this year is not really a reflection of my own musical interest.
Sure, in Dan. Way. Sure.
It's Encanto and getting my kid to shut up songs.
Can you sing that song? I don't think I'm not familiar with the what is it? The what vampire song?
Yeah, Dan.
It's a song. It's a really good song. It's called If We Were Vampires.
Can you sing it?
Sing it, Dan.
It's a really sweet song about death. And we play for our daughter.
You are talking my language, Dan. Oh, baby.
Says the woman raised in a mortician. All right. Well, that was a very fun segment. Thanks for coming on, Dan. We'll probably have you back in a couple weeks like we usually do. Can't wait to read the Buck story And then whatever you got next coming out next week. So subscribe today to the Recombobulation Area so you can take advantage of the sale. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much as always for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good seeing everybody.
All right.
Bucks and six.
Bucks and six.
Bucks and six.
All right. Well, we are going to take the break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, restaurant etiquette. How long can you wait for your food before it is appropriate for you to just leave? You tell us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You see on the bubblegum cards, me and homeboy would go one on one, cause playing the game is a lot of fun.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.